Hello and welcome to a special podcast on deep diving into the future of metaverse presented to you by WazirX and CNBCTV18.com. I'm also joined by Kavya Prasad from Lumos Labs, and Aritra Sarkhel is Director of Public Policy, Government Affairs and Content at WazirX. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining us. And it is such an interesting, enthusiastic and evolving platform as such. First came the crypto and then NFTs, and now it's metaverse. The blockchain universe is evolving fast, and we all we can do is really keep up to it. This one is to you, Aritra. And, you know, we started 2021, if anything, was a phenomenal year, and we just got a hint, perhaps, of metaverse. But now, as we look at numbers, especially in the last couple of quarters, it really is millions and billions of dollars worth of virtual lands and assets that people seem to be spending on metaverse. What do you look at, and how do you look at this economy?
Hey, thanks. So, I mean, I'll just take a step back. I know last year a lot of things happened in the crypto world, in the especially on the exchange side of the business, and with Facebook. I don't know for what good reason they renamed their companies as Meta. Everybody, every left, right, center, everybody's talking about Meta and Metaverse. But see, the bare bones of the, if we can call it together at this afternoon on the eve of budget of the country, bare bones of Metaverse existed for the longest time. It's not something new or out of the world. To be honest, you have the AR, VR elements existing for the longest time as an industry. What has happened in the last 2-3 years, specifically with the commercialization of products being built on blockchain, especially is the ownership part. Like a very important topic here in Metaverse is the ownership part. Because of NFTs, a lot of elements changed of what you can do within a virtual world. Earlier, you could play games, right? You could play games, you could stream it, make money on that. People like us, when we were kids, we were playing these virtual games, we were streaming it, making money, making a certain kind of capital on that. But now that part has changed a little bit. You can own a lot of stuff inside that virtual world, right? Now, having said that, the simplest definition of metaverse is that it's a collective 3D virtual world where users like you, me can participate through different activities through our digital avatars, right? Now, this metaverse would, we call it metaverse, somebody might call it something else, would shape up as an alternate digital reality where, you know, folks, people like you and me, rather users could interact with each other. Very critical word is interact. Interact, all three of us could interact with each other, play games, watch movies, do something more worthwhile, like build something. Like if there are people who have played Minecraft in the earlier years, you could actually build things on Minecraft. You can build certain entities on top of Minecraft, stuff like that, right? Or work in collaboration with their colleagues. So simply put, metaverse is basically a superset of, I would say, virtual reality, the internet and augmented reality, right? Now, there are, as I mentioned, Minecraft, which was the popular virtual reality game, which sort of represents the metaverse. There are some folks which set up a unique platform for social interaction. Now, there are other companies which have come up today. Somebody's selling a digital land. Somebody's selling every part of what you've seen in the physical world in a digital way. But I think there are larger ramifications for the metaverse as an industry because of the ownership aspect, second, because of the tokenization aspect, and third, because of the sharing of these virtual items between each other. That's a different economy being set up over there. And this also has a massive impact, whether we believe this or not, on the way digital marketing runs and will run in the next few years. Because the way you look at the way digital marketing runs now on the internet, any startup that comes up has to put up an ad on Facebook or Twitter, right? Everybody wants users. So they spend a lot of money on Facebook and Twitter ads, which eventually goes back to those guys, right? Now, the same folks, if you're building a startup today, can have a metaverse play, and part of the digital marketing budget and strategy goes over there and helps them get users even before a physical product is launched, or if you just have a digital product. That's the way I look at it.
Kavya, this one is to you. And while Aritra really put out a lot of words on the table there, I want to start about, how do markets really look at it right now? There's a category of serious players, yes. And then there are some who want to be part of this big technology, evolving technology. Some are just FOMOing in there. Some people want to make huge money. And then people don't want to be left behind. They want to be early adopters here so that when the market grows there, their money perhaps would be multiplied. How would you look at these various categories of people right now in the space?
Yeah, for sure. So as Aritra mentioned, right, like he gave a very good understanding of what metaverses are at the fundamentals of it. But I would still say metaverses are at a very nascent stage right now, right? And as he mentioned, right, like all these games that exist in the metaverse are very siloed off from each other. And what, you know, blockchain or that layer, the token layer brings in is interoperability between these metaverses, right? So with that being said, I think with the whole blockchain revolution that's come in, a lot of people have started looking at metaverses on that aspect of it, right? Like metaverses were about games and, you know, entertainment. But with this layer of tokenization, we can actually look at metaverses in a bigger way, and which is where I think a lot of people are starting to see this as a lucrative space and, you know, the evolution of you know, the digital world, essentially. And probably the pandemic might have, you know, accelerated this, and this may have been a couple of years down the line. But right now, you know, metaverses are, you know, front and center, mainly because the world has been siloed off from each other. Traveling has become difficult, and having a place where you can interact with people and, you know, in that 2D way where you chat with people has not been enough. And metaverses are the next evolution of it. So with that being said, I do see a lot of startups coming into this space. And, you know, some of them are really passionate about gaming and want to bring in that incentivization layer within gaming. For example, right now, there are players like Axie Infinity and Roblox that have this whole tokenization and, you know, play to earn economy built within that game. But if you take out that play to earn bit from these games, right, essentially these games don't have that sort of, you know, addiction or that catch that, you know, the Xbox, PlayStation games did have. So essentially, you know, the next rung of entrepreneurs that would come into the space would look at, you know, getting in that entertainment factor as well, the whole immersiveness of gaming, and then adding that layer to it, right? Like having a FIFA with this token layer would be, you know, would be a breakthrough right now. So those kind of players are, you know, the very, you know, they would be the next rung of, you know, metaverse builders, I would say. And then with that being said, I don't think metaverses need to be, you know, siloed off to just games, entertainment and experiences, right? This is the future of communication. And when you can't, you know, get to a place physically, this would be the place to be where you can interact, find jobs, maybe network with people, attend conferences, events, etc. So with that being said, I do agree that, you know, this is the next evolution of how people would meet, interact and actually build businesses as well. So yeah, that essentially would be my answer.
Kavya, you also mentioned about the agri-tech startups, and yes, a lot of them are mushrooming. Are they different from one another? What are the goals that we're looking to achieve when it comes to metaverse for once? And how tangible do you see the space getting as we move forward from here?
Right. So I do see this evolving, and you know, on a daily basis, I see a lot of new use cases coming in the metaverse space. Right, from people building communities in the metaverse, because I think the next evolution of community aggregation, right, from how it started with the Gentleman's Club to, you know, WhatsApp communities to Facebook groups. Now I have moved on to Discord because you are able to categorize communities better. The next evolution of community building also would essentially be in the metaverse, right? So those are a set of, you know, tech startups, metaverse startups that I'm seeing cropping up a lot. There are, you know, games with the play to earn economy that are coming up that I'm seeing a lot, you know, applying and reaching out to us for support. And there are also a lot of, you know, creator economy is building up, right? Celebrities are able to, you know, publicize their work and publicize what they do a lot better in the metaverse. They're able to, you know, give out merchandising a lot easier in the metaverse. And a lot of, you know, fans can actually meet these guys in the metaverse as opposed to in reality, where it's a lot harder to access them. So a lot of these sort of startups I'm starting to see crop up with the metaverse use case coming into the picture.
Oh, absolutely. So people are getting married on Metaverse. People are getting engaged on Metaverse. They are doing concerts on Metaverse. And that number clearly seems to be becoming really huge. Aritra, how do you see this trend?
Well, I'm already married. I don't know whether I want to remarry again on the Metaverse. But yeah, I probably asked the wife about this. But yeah, you're right, actually. I mean, But can I be honest? Like, can I?
Arisha, would you say that we could be talking like this on a metaverse, perhaps? I mean, we don't need these old age technology that we're doing right now.
Absolutely. You'll have a virtual Manisha, you'll have a virtual Aritra, you'll have a virtual, like you'll have a virtual lot of them. But yeah, I mean, it's actually fascinating. But the only thing, and I'll be honest here, let me honestly tell you something. Like, see, there were companies and there were technologies which allowed us to create, say, an avatar of Manisha, say, an avatar of Aritra. It was there earlier also. I mean, it is not like it has suddenly some folks have gone together, right? But marriages have happened. I mean, I remember there was a couple in Tamil Nadu who announced their virtual reception. Now, peak COVID, this would make a lot of sense. It would make a hell lot of sense. It becomes front page news. But this still needs to mature. Right now, I mean, I think what we are seeing is a coming together of a lot of technologies which existed in silos. Like there were AR, VR companies which were bought over by larger Silicon Valley counterparts, right? Now, their NFT came up in the last 4-5 years ago. The theory of it was talked before that. But the way I look at it, and I'll be honest, and there are a few companies that I've been personally looking at in the last 2 months, especially, which really excites me and I want to put it out, is the way I look at it, it's the merging of offline and online commerce. You know, look at it. You need some kind of commerce, right? You need some commerce trade. You need that dhanda happening over there. You need that trade happening. Otherwise, businesses won't exist on that, right? So the way I look at it, on one end is the e-commerce part in the metaverse is going to accelerate in the coming years. Like, as the tech and the adoption of this will only grow, Manisha. The tech and the adoption will grow. Like, probably you folks will have an event, like CNBC might have a virtual event where you're calling avatars. Our prime minister did an avatar event, right? Mr. Modi did a 3D avatar event way before we were even talking about metaverse. I think he was probably ahead of all of us. Now, things like that does exist, but it will usher in new features. So what I'm trying to say is product discovery and personalization will actually accelerate on any of these metaverse platforms. It will allow brands to offer shoppers a highly personalized digital experience. You know, this will make it a seamless experience. And the second is this entire divide between social media and e-commerce will slowly and gradually continue to, you know, close in on the metaverse. Social proof is a very important thing. Social proof is already at the core of e-commerce. As seen when you see Amazon reviews and other product reviews, right? In the metaverse, all brands, including, you know, media brands like yours, including companies like us, brands will be able to take social proof beyond just a 1-star or a 5-star review by building engaging communities on the metaverse that allows us customers to engage with the brand. This is very critical. Like, say, Nike is doing it right now. Right? I'm just saying this because I'm seeing some local companies do that. Nike is doing it. Other companies are doing it. It's maddening what's happening. It's how close you feel to the main brand head or main brand. Okay, you know, I want to own a part of this brand. That ownership aspect is what is driving the metaverse today. As far as other social aspects, it is a massive behavioral change. I don't want to predict anything that overnight people will be doing everything virtual. I mean, probably, yeah. Can you date an avatar of yours online? Probably, yes. But in the same line, we need to understand one thing, Manisha, is we are not technically changing. Like, if we have our biases, those biases will still remain. Like, if I have a bias against something, my avatar will also end up having the same bias. Like, if I'm a racist, my avatar also will probably end up being a racist avatar. So those things will also evolve. And those are the things we need to talk about more. Because what we saw with Web 2.0, all the social media that you and me are part of today on these platforms, nothing, probably other aspects of our personality emerged. How we tackle that in the metaverse will be a huge game changer because it's not controlled. We need to see a lot of things are not controlled in the metaverse. What you say, speak, do is not controlled. So on those lines, things will change.
Yeah, I get your point about dating, personality traits, getting married on metaverse. I mean, there's just as much as you can do on metaverse, right? It has to merge somewhere in person as well. But Kavya, this one is to you. And I want to put a name out here because we do know that the Lil Mendy's recent metaverse performance was quite a hit. I mean, millions of people joined in for that. How would you look at the acceptance of this? Would you say this is just a beginning? Because now we have large scale events happening on metaverse. I mean, it's no longer an infancy, really.
Yeah, I do agree that this is just the beginning, and I may be a little, my views may be a little different from Aritra here with respect to this, right? And the reason I'm saying this is because not everybody can, you know, afford to say travel to a different city or a different country to, you know, meet their celebrity, you know, that they want to, you know, attend events for, right? And this adds to accessibility. I wouldn't say that, you know, we would completely stop having physical events, but rather say we'd have hybrid models, right? While Dalair Mehni performs in real life in different places in India, we could also, because there are huge brands across the globe for him, right? And there's a huge Indian settlement in UK that loves Dalair Mehndi now. What about, you know, those guys? How do they attend? They don't get to come to India, right? So having a hybrid option where, you know, they could possibly attend, you know, these events on the metaverse would be the next best thing for them, right? And it isn't watching them on a 2D screen, but rather wearing like a VR headset where they feel like they're in that world at that point in time. So it feels very real. It feels immersive. With that being said, there are a lot of startups that are trying to, you know, sort of figure out this niche, right, where you get celebrities to perform in the metaverse. So there's a company called Hyperreal that essentially does this. So builds this, you know, celebrity persona in the metaverse and actually does concerts. And this can be replayed how many ever times over, right? And people can watch it and it's like watching in reality. So I would say this is just the beginning, and the West has adopted it quite nicely. There's, you know, Ariana Grande doing events in the metaverse. There's Snoop Dogg building, you know, having his own little neighborhood in Sandbox. And, you know, people can probably buy real estate right next to him to just be his neighbor in the metaverse, right? So a lot of these sort of, you know, accessibilities to the celebrities is coming in through the metaverse. So I wouldn't say that, you know, real events would stop, but I would say this would be a added plus with the metaverse.
Kavya, I get your point that the physical events will not stop. But, you know, you both have mentioned about pandemic and what really led to cryptocurrencies, blockchain, metaverse, NFTs, that market actually bloomed, you know, to some part because of the pandemic as well. So when you look at the physical activities and events, I mean, you both have mentioned also on how we might be looking at hybrid markets from here on. But what is the kind of investment, Kavya, that we are seeing, the kind of acceptance that the markets have right now? How would you look at the foreseeable future, let's say 3 to 5 years from now, with major names, major games, and large-scale events happening?
Right. So I think with, you know, Facebook turning and rebranding to Meta is a big, you know, plus for us, right? Like it shows that the future is here and we do need a big player like Meta, whatever said and done, right? They are the guys who are going to, you know, change or move this needle for us, right? So with people like that taking a stance like this, I would say, you know, the sort of investments and the sort of money that will go into this technology and metaverses per se would obviously increase gradually, right? And this is very, very nascent right now. We have a lot to work on. That is, you know, computation power, because metaverses need a lot of computation, a good bandwidth, low latency. It needs better internet infrastructure. It needs better systems, better hardware. So all of this needs to come together, and then we can actually see this become mainstream going forward. But as of now, I would say we need to start working on the hardware and the infrastructure layer to make metaverses more widespread. And, you know, right now we see only users in urban cities mainly come into the metaverse. But for it to penetrate to tier 1, tier 2, tier 3 cities, we would need the, you know, fundamentals sorted out before we actually look at this at a big manner. And you know, the kind of budgets you put in would be directly proportional to the kind of users that there are in the metaverse.
Aritra, let me be a devil's advocate here, because, you know, when the internet came in and there were parents worried on how the children would get, you know, addicted to that. And that's exactly what happened when the smartphones came in and everybody owns one. And now with metaverse, the real versus the virtual, and how much time should you actually be spending there is becoming a big debate.
I mean, I spend as much time. I'll tell you a flip side to that answer. Today there are kids as young as 14 and 15 years of age who have built blockchain and crypto platforms. Now, if their parent would have told them to ki beta ye mat karo, itna like for 4 hours, don't sit on in front of some Decentraland platform or don't play an Axie Infinity, I don't think that guy would have done something like this. But I think we are evolving. Like, I mean, all of us are evolving in terms of our kids will also evolve. Like when we were starting up, our parents looked at internet very differently. Like at least from the place where I come from, we looked at internet very differently. But I don't know about you too. Like if people if when our generation will have kids now, we already look at it in a very different format. Like now that we look at education, we look at internet in a very different way. This is, and we don't wait for a certain age. And I know so many, I think Kavya will tell this better, so many 14, 15-year-olds in India, in the last 1 year specifically, I've seen them develop platforms on blockchain, actually develop a revenue stream at the age of 15 by playing games on Axie. Now, is that socially correct, behaviorally correct? I honestly don't know. One, and second, because I think the more you stop a person from doing something, I think they will go ahead and do that. So rather have a much more matured outlook in terms of, you know what, XYZ is important for you. Just allow them a sort of a merged entry into this, like because they'll find out. Like, I'll give you an example. I'll give you this very fascinating example that happened to me last year. I told this in some government quarters. Initially, I was laughed at, but then they agreed to what I was doing because their grandchildren also doing the same thing. Now, I was in my hometown in Jamshedpur, and there were these 11, 12-year-old kids. This happened 2 years ago, two and a half years ago. And I did not used to use Discord. The only reason I got into Discord was because of Wazir and kind of stuff we were doing in crypto. And these kids were discussing gaming strategies on Call of Duty on Discord. So these are some live gaming strategies being discussed by 12-year-olds on Discord. And I felt like a really old person. I'm like, why are you on Discord? Why not on a WhatsApp group or a Telegram group? I said, no, it allows me private servers. 12-year-olds telling me stuff on private servers in a town in a eastern part of India. So the access to tech is massive, and I think kids have also evolved, and what they're doing with this technology is also evolved. So I don't think restriction will help. The more you restrict, things go completely reverse. So you should allow kids to embrace these kind of technologies because they are building. I mean, they're not even having fun. They're actually building building companies on top of it. So I think you should not restrict. You should just allow. If you have a kid today, put them on any of these play-to-earn games or make them learn crypto, blockchain.
Oh, well, absolutely. Kavya, what's your sense on that? Because we did talk about the tech startups here, but we're talking about self-learning. Because there are not too many places or universities where you can actually go and learn a lot. So there's a lot of self-learning happening. There's a lot of, as Aritra pointing out, a revenue stream that people of all walks and ages really driving out of that. How do you see that growing?
Yeah, I'm completely in line with what Aritra said, right? I think restricting the youth right now is not the best idea. It's in fact equipping them and maybe streamlining their access to the right places, right? If they are earning on Roblox or on Axie Infinity, why not? They're getting exposed to the world right now. Kids have friends from across the globe. They get to have that exposure sitting out of their own homes. At the time that I was growing up, I only had my neighbors and my school friends that I could talk to, right? And I didn't know what the world had in store for me. Right now, the kids these days have so much that they know, so much more that they can learn from different people from across the globe. It's wonderful to see, right? And I also have a small anecdote like Aritra. So at Lumos Labs, we run developer programs for Web3 companies, right? So recently we did a hackathon and I was basically evangelizing this hackathon to a lot of developer groups, right? And there was this one group where this kid came up to me and said, hey, what is the prize money for this and what do I need to build? So I basically explained to him, like this is what you need to do and this is the technology and here's some reading material and they'll probably help you get up to speed, right? And I didn't know how old he was. And, after talking to him a little while later, it turns out he's a 15-year-old guy in 10th standard in his summer holidays trying to figure out how he can make some money on the side. And he's doing it the right way. He's not, he's learning and he's building and he's trying to innovate, right? And he actually won third place in that hackathon. He and his friend, who are both 15 and 16 years old, built out a very, very interesting product for Alzheimer patients using blockchain technology. So I think, restricting them would not allow these sort of, innovations and kids coming in and building new things to happen, right? So I think we should really, really empower these children to do this sort of exploration within the digital world.
All right, that wasn't our theme of discussion, but clearly kids nowadays are more responsible, and I can absolutely vouch for that. They think differently and they have more exposure, and yes, they make it to right use as well. So, you know, wrapping up this conversation, I'll come to you first, Aritra. What's your sense? I mean, you've spoken about e-commerce, education, you know, metaverse being used as a revenue stream and the kind of exposure and evolution that it has given to us. What is your sense as we move forward from here, whether it is about the evolution, whether it's about metaverse becoming a part of the economy that we know right now, even as large-scale companies, people, events are taking place on this year, what is that one thing that you see going in favor? Where do you see the technology 5 years from now? And what is your advice to the youngsters right now?
I think keep building. All of this is open source. You don't need a college degree to learn this. There are no barriers to entry. The barriers to entry in crypto is bare minimum. That's why you get to see so many types of investments, that you see so many different classes. And then particularly in terms of metaverse, this is my personal belief. I'm okay to be proven wrong. I'll probably invest in something else. But in the next 5 years, I think it will completely redo the way digital marketing is done. And we need to understand digital marketing plays a huge role. That the amount of capital that gets pulled from marketing on online literally makes a lot of things on the internet go around these days. The current internet that you and me are part of, right? So digital marketing will be completely revamped. Every company should have a chief metaverse officer, first of all, to look after their marketing investments on metaverse. I think the way brands interact with their end consumers it's already changing. The big guys in this, and I think everybody else will follow that way. Third, I think a lot more unique developments will happen, especially on the policy side. And why I say this is, at the end of the day, this also involves a lot of data exchange, right? This has no boundaries per se, right? So there are some talks on the data privacy laws coming into a lot of data privacy questions which are coming into play for metaverse. So on the policy side, a lot of things will have to change globally to have things like metaverse function within countries. Third, I think it is a fascinating set of fascinating tech which allows you to build a lot of companies. So if you're not investing in crypto, start playing games on this metaverse, start building something on the metaverse. I think all of us will have something or the other. Each individual in this country with access to 4G or 5G internet will have something to do with metaverse of a brand in the next 4 to 5 years. But for this, as Kavya very, very correctly and secondly mentioned, for this to actually make commercial sense, you need better internet infrastructure. You actually need better. This eats a lot of internet data. You really need good internet infrastructure. And third, if you're an investor, it's very simple. Please look at the companies who are building the hardware for such metaverse software elements. Go invest in them. So that's where. But overall, it will be a huge change for every brand in the next 5 to 6 years. But we have to put a layer of data privacy also over here. You have to protect individuals' data rights also on the digital world. Nobody's talking about that. That needs to be talked about more.
Aritra, I'm still smiling on the fact, as you mentioned, there's going to be a new designation, which is going to be called CMO, Chief Metaverse Officer. I really like that. That's a kick to it. Kavya, to you then, how would you wrap it? And what is the future of metaverse that you see?
I think I resonate with a lot of the things that Aritra mentioned, right? I think the brands, like big brands, would carve out their marketing spends to define themselves within the metaverse, right? They would, you know, try to capitalize, try to have headquarters in metaverses to, you know, access bigger communities and advertise themselves there, right? AR and VR will become large parts of brands' marketing strategies as well. We're already seeing that happen in a lot of cases where, you know, Snapchat has these sponsored AR, filters where you have, you know, certain brands, you know, where people could take photographs and actually send it out. And that adds to a lot of, brand awareness and positioning for a certain organization. I think that would come into the picture a lot with the advent of metaverses. Blockchain enabled games, of course, I think that is already sort of, it is booming. There are some You know, with respect to the way games are built, need to be a little more advanced. And I think that, again, comes down to rendering on screens, right? Having an online game and having it rendered on a laptop screen, you do need to have good infrastructure, good internet, and a good graphics card for it. So there are some drawbacks there. And I think, you know, finding solutions for this is another thing that we would see in the future. And also, you know, cyberbullying has been a very real thing, right? And right now we see that happening as, you know, messages from weird guys on, you know, Facebook pinging you saying had BF or something. But with the metaverse, this is going to be even more real, right? Like having somebody bully you on the metaverse is going to be very, very scary because it would be a lot more invasive. So, you know, having this collective responsibility to police the metaverse, that is going to be a pretty big you know, problem to solve. And I think that is something that, you know, organizations are going to start looking at as well. How to manage this sort of bullying in the metaverse, right? Like they probably have like metaverse police avatars and have people kind of look through and organize reports that are being done on certain profiles or something. I don't know. But that's something that I see happening in the future as well, right? Like finding solutions for this. And in the end, I think communities are going to be built on the metaverses going forward, right? And I think it's a more immersive and a better way to actually interact and collaborate. And this way we can see like-minded people from across the globe actually come in and build new and great things. And I think that would be the end goal, right? Like building that sort of R&D center where you don't have a physical space, so you don't need people to fly down to one place, but actually meet in the metaverse and actually build the next best innovation. So that is where I see, you know, metaverse is going, more utility driven, with obviously games and entertainment on the side as well to add value.
Kaveh and Aritra, thank you so much for that conversation. I mean, not just that you told us about the present, but the future of metaverse as well, and the pros and cons as well. This has been such a great conversation that I'm going to go back and listen to it all. It had experiences, it had anecdotes that you shared with us. We really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Manisha.
Thank you so much.